Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
AI or artificial intelligence is now part of daily life, and alongside all of the opportunities it provides, it's also creating challenges, especially in education. From learning apps to voice assistants to advanced tools like ChatGPT, AI is already transforming how students engage with information in Irish schools. But does it work in the classroom? Do students rely on AI too much, especially when it comes to homework? Well, I'm joined by Rita Bateson, who's co-founder and director of education at Iblana Learning, which provides AI guidance for international schools and teachers. Rita, you're very welcome.
Thank you for
coming in. We know that students are using AI. I mean, I see it even in my own house when it comes to homework. We're asking the speaker questions, answers perhaps to the long division, which we try to stop. How can it be used effectively, though, in education? Because we're not saying this is a no-no and you shouldn't touch it, right? That's our base point.
We're not. I think it's really important that we are looking very clear-eyed at the advantages and the disadvantages. And we cannot lose sight of the fact that we need ethical and sustainable use of AI, because there's energy impacts. But more importantly, what we're seeing in international schools, whether we're in Switzerland, whether we're in Japan, Saudi Arabia, there's a focus on the kind of AI literacy side, the tools and being able to use them. And there's not enough engagement into what it's doing to our cognition, what it's doing to what they're actually learning. So the ability to have a very quick shortcut, the ability to offload thinking and memory into ChatGPT, we're seeing that manifest in the classroom. And
so this is this buzz phrase, cognitive offload. Am I getting that
right? That's right.
What is that?
That's a kind of a concerning phenomenon where we see students who reach for AI before they will reach for something. Potentially it could be in their bag, it could be in their notes, it could be somewhere else. But the temptation to reach and put their thinking and cognition straight into ChatGPT or any other AI is quite a concerning phenomenon. And I'll be honest, it's not limited to students. We are seeing it in teachers too. You'll probably notice that the temptation to ask it to do some of the brainstorming or the initial ideation for a project or getting some good ideas. But because of the way the AI is designed, it will always say, would you like me to start that for you? And of course, that's the moment where students are quite tempted to say yes. And then that will take them through to the next step. And then it will take them through to the next step. And what we're seeing is students and adults who are really enjoying this friction-free environment, who like being able to rely on the getting started, getting over the blank page effect. But it creates a culture then of dependency. Mm-hmm. And beyond education, they're also using it for emotional support as well. So we have many schools who are questioning, what is the point of homework? Because essentially I'm grading or marking or assessing AI work and not a student work. And so there's nothing as dispiriting as having to sit down with 20 ChatGPT essays and feel, you can see the frequency, you can see the feeling. And students are feeling it as well with teacher feedback, where they're suggesting that is also heavily AI influenced.
I was going to suggest, with not essays now, because this doesn't fit this example, but with a lot of homework, you're going to be able to see how people worked things out, what their thought process was. But I suppose AI can do that for you
as well. And it can also replicate handwriting. So there's a deeper question of, to what extent do we have things that are genuinely student learning and that are genuinely showing us development of cognition or ability or competency? So we're working with schools, and we're very lucky to have Trinity support in this. And with the Learnovate, they're helping us do impact studies, because there isn't enough thinking around how do we get through the current technology crisis or exciting opportunity. Because for students with special needs, it's incredible. For language learning, it's a language model. So it really does present a unique facility for language teachers to get the perfect resource at the perfect level. It is unlocking incredible opportunities for students with medical diagnoses, and all of that is important. And we also need to preserve what's truly important in education, which is the friction that creates good learning. So we have to now build education systems around productive struggle, because the students don't get enough struggle, unfortunately, and they don't have that ability then to we have, as adults, we already have those fine-tuned kind of abilities to research, and we can use it as an accelerant. But they're accelerating past the learning process, and that's quite a dangerous place to be.
So we have the building blocks because we're not AI natives.
Exactly.
They don't. So that's what they're missing out on, is how to find that information yourself.
And we hear a lot about humans in the loop. And so long as you have a senior engineer who can oversee the AI developments, that's great. But our students aren't getting the opportunities that would make them junior engineers, or, the ability to be at an entry level outside outside of AI. They won't have an outside of AI world. So it's really important that we take the good and the bad and that we prepare them, because there's nothing better to prepare us for the future than education, right? We need to get downstream of that.
So what's the answer in particular when it comes to homework?
At the moment, there isn't one, to be completely honest. There are best practices. There are ways that we can contextualize learning, make it really personal, make it more about the process. But actually, AI-proofing work, I think I haven't seen anybody crack that yet. I'm sure there'll be a technology solution. I'm sure we'll have watermarking and observations. But it does introduce an awful lot of friction between teachers and students, between teachers and leadership, because there's no AI detector that's fully reliable. So, and there's also no AI proofing of certain assessments. So there's some hard work and good work to do around
it. So the teachers that you're talking to, they're saying, well, how can I give homework? Because what I'm maybe correcting AI, as you said earlier, and there's no way of finding out if the child did this or if the AI tool did.
You can get a lot of good guidance and it can be a really good conversation starter. But the importance now of trust in the classroom, the importance of knowing your students really well and knowing what they can produce and having them value their own voice, that's more important than it ever was. Because otherwise, if we don't recognise, we have had students who have put their voice into ChatGPT. They'll create a bot and it can replicate their mistakes and their typical, you know, phrases and all of this. And it's really interesting to see the amount of technology that they require to do that. It's showing a different kind of learning. It's showing a very creative thinking, but it is bypassing the assessment system. So we have to have really, really good conversations about how well we know them, what we want from them, and what true education looks like.
But, you know, we have to be grounded in reality. We can't stop the tide. Yeah. This is there. They're going to use it if it's available to them. So it's around working around it, isn't it?
It is.
Or finding a way.
Potentially reprioritizing what skills we really value. So will authenticity be much more important now, and we value eccentricity? Do we value deeper thinking? And that requires quite a lot of support for teachers, because at the moment we have a very structured treadmill to a certain level of assessment and expectations that universities require and that we value for life. But if we see jobs changing significantly, and if we see retention of information and humans, we've already been through a memory offloading process, right? We don't memorize things in the way because we don't need to. And AI has come for skills in that sense. Because we don't know what will we need to be able to do, what will we need to remember, what will we be able to perform in schools will be very, very different. So it's very exciting, but it is also very daunting, because if you're in a classroom full time, you don't have time to keep up with all that research. You don't have time to see what the students are doing. Mm-hmm. And they are very clearly seeing this on TikTok. So TikTok or Facebook or any of the algorithms will share with them humanizing AI. So put it in here and then put your work in here and then in here, and then it will avoid detection. That's very seductive and
so
very attractive.
An instruction manual on the likes of TikTok.
Can be.
I know you're talking at Learnovation 2025. This is the annual Global Learning Summit, and it's happening at the Aviva Stadium today, and there'll be plenty of teachers there who will be trying to figure out how to deal with this problem. But also, they don't have the time, I would imagine, not to use an AI tool if it's available to them.
That's true, and it is happening. We see that teachers are using it as an efficiency marker, so they can produce lesson plans, they can produce differentiated resources, and those are great, because we often say teachers need more time to spend with students, they need more time to kind of stay on top of their craft. So that's an excellent use case. So we're looking for a culture of these are benefits to the classroom, these are really, really detrimental to learning, and how do we distinguish between those when we don't have a knowledge base, even as maybe as potentially as much as the students do, if they're leapfrogging us. So that's why we're very excited. We work with schools to help them determine what is their philosophy and vision around AI for their schools or for their network, for their district in the US, for example, because there's huge ethical dilemmas around safeguarding, around the environmental impact of AI, because that's something as well. If we're going to encourage students to use it wisely, we have to define that for them. We have to help them understand what are the parameters, what is the best way to do it, what is an energy efficient way to do it. There's so much to think about. Mm-hmm.
And each school might have a different ethos around this. So it's very hard to come up with a national curriculum that builds AI use into it that everybody's willing to accept, because people will have different priorities around learning.
Absolutely. So we've been writing an AI curriculum for the last 3 months. And part of that challenge is to make sure that it's integrated naturally into subjects, because schools are already quite overloaded curriculum wise. You know, we've added social emotional learning, we've added consent education, we've added an awful lot to teachers' plates over the years. And AI is essential and it's also an additive. So how do we make that really, really as implementable and as practical for teachers as possible? Now, with that, obviously, comes the fact that you need to have conscientious objectors in the system too. There are people who don't want to touch it, and that's entirely their right. But I've always said, as a head teacher myself, that's absolutely fine, so long as you understand the layout. You don't have to be in the arena, but you have to know how students are using it. And they are using it constantly. Like we've seen, maybe 6 months ago, I would see an average student using it for 10 to 20 queries. And now it's at about 200 to 500 queries per day.
But what happens when you go in to do your Leaving Cert into the exam hall?
It's a very different scenario. So they're undermining and eroding their own learning in the long run. Now, where the Leaving Cert moves and how that will iterate. But in international schools, for example, they're high stakes environments. They are the qualification is such a currency that students are willing to take shortcuts. Even the ones who really want to learn for the learning's sake, they are bombarded with temptations. They're bombarded with apps, and we need to teach them a level of self-discipline and maybe even build a moat around their cognition, helping them to kind of protect. And as parents, it's something we have to do as well, having very open, honest conversations about AI that we maybe didn't get to with social media. We didn't do it fast enough with social media. This is a second chance. We can help them understand what is happening.
I'm sure, though, and you'll know this, that they will figure out, or if they haven't already figured it out, here's what I really need to learn and do myself, and here's what I can get away with using AI for. Right? The best, that's happening.
Absolutely. They're the best pattern spotting machines out there outside of AI. They can identify best use cases for themselves, and we have to then give them the ethical compass and the moral compass around that to decide when it's appropriate to use, when they're doing themselves a disservice, and when they are damaging the environment for something that they could have done easily, that they could have done easily for themselves. And that's a really tough thing to ask a student to do.
It is. Now, a listener says, I was quite surprised to learn that in my 9-year-old daughter's music and choir class, they use AI to generate songs for the students to learn. My daughter hated it.
Interesting.
And I appreciate that AI can be great for lesson plans and exercises and even problem solving at school, but surely not for creativity, art and something as inherently human as singing. Or am I just old fashioned?
No, I think there's a good point there. I think there's also a fundamental issue happening in general in education, which is that the frequency and volume of these generations have led to a little bit of what we call AI slop. And the dangers, we have to teach students about the bias inherent in AI, the hallucinations, but more importantly, the mediocrity of some of the output. Mm-hmm. So teachers will be increasingly kind of arbiters of good taste, or they're going to have to be the people who model what good use looks like, and then when to disregard the output, because the output is not always optimal. It's not always going to suit whatever their urgent need is, an essay, a piece of homework, an idea for a project, whatever that might be. It comes with an intellectual cost, but it also comes with a need to protect the quality. So I don't think it's old-fashioned at all. I think, in fact, we need to be very clear-minded about this. And that's why I'm excited to see so many people at Learnovation talking about what truly matters, rethinking education, but rethinking it for the right reasons and not for churn and, you know, attractive technologies and all of those things, because the students are the most important part of this, all of this consideration.
I just wonder whether this conversation around, you know, rethinking education is too late. I mean, it's already happening. Our students have already rethought education, it would seem.
They have. And I think that doesn't necessarily denigrate the need to do it now. I think the best time to plant a tree, of course, is 20 years ago, and the second best time is now. So if we have the lessons from social media, if we have the lessons from the original EdTech, Google and Wikipedia, and we have so much evidence to think about after COVID as well, what education truly needs, is it a skills development? Is it an understanding of trades are going to be incredibly important in the future as knowledge economy is less and less important? We need to have a much better, stronger conversation where education is pivotal in AI adoption, mm-hmm. because you can bring it into industry and that will have an automatic effect in education.
Yeah, and of course, the Leaving Cert now is moving towards continuous assessment, and you've got to wonder, well, is that the right thing to do? Because if you're taking things out of the classroom, the risks increase.
Yes, I think, and it's a politically infected conversation, of course, but my concern would be it's very, very difficult now to AI proof any of that. So it's never been more vulnerable. I would have been a really big proponent of AI, of coursework in general. I think it's wonderful because single stakes exam are so pressurizing for students. But now, any kind of external assessment is very, very difficult to validate. It's very difficult to stand over. And the teachers do feel quite vulnerable. They feel conflicted as to their relationship with the student, how they can flag certain items. And then, will that be trusted? Because if we can't stand over the AI detection to 100%, I put in my own writing and I can get from 0 to 100% AI generated, depending on how I fiddle with it. So it's a really fascinating and terrifying and exciting time for education.
It is, but it's fascinating to hear about it as well and the conversations that are going on. Rita, thank you so much for coming in, especially on a busy day, because Rita Bateson is speaking at Learnovation 2025, the annual Global Learning Summit at the Aviva Stadium today. Rita, thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Coming up later on, from You're So Vain to Bad Blood, we take a listen to some of the best diss tracks out there, not composed by AI, might I add. Next up, though, how drones are having an impact on commercial aviation.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.